God bless you as you give this morning. Hey, by the way, you'll notice around the edges, there's tables set up. Tell us about that, Dawg.
Oh, my goodness. We're so excited. It's our small fair, our small group fair. So we're getting ready this week, this coming up week, we're getting ready to start a new small group. So
it starts this week.
Yes. Yeah. And look around and sign up. And it's so important, you know, to be involved and have people with you praying and walking and knowing who you are. You know, I believe that this really, where we are in our community, where we are in life, we can be so lonely. And because we're so isolated, we're so busy. Mm. And, you know, that's just not a good place. It makes us vulnerable to the enemy. Mm. But, you know, be known here. Let people know who you are. Let them know what's going on in your life. And then also, it's a privilege to be able to walk with people so that I can pray with people and I can get to know who they are and their concerns. It's really a big deal here. So please take a look and see and get involved. Really important.
There's a young adult group that's starting called The Connection. I'm really excited about that.
We are excited.
There's a photo booth back there if they'll meet you after the service.
Yes.
So get a cool picture, huh?
Cool pictures.
We want to post some pictures on social media with some of our young adults. We got a little sign back there, Young Adults Rock. Yes. Can't wait to be a part of that. Tracy and I are going to be a part of that.
We're excited.
Another thing I want to talk about is our peer desire groups.
Yes.
And some of you, maybe you're not familiar with that, but you know, there is an incredible need, just an incredible need in our world today for true freedom in our hearts and our minds from things like pornography. Pornography has just become just rampant in our society. You can be free. You can walk free. You can have pure thoughts. And God can redeem your mind and create new neural pathways and do great stuff. I've been personally through Pure Desire University. It was a huge blessing to me.
Yes.
I really encourage our men. And then there's young men's groups. And then there's groups for ladies. You know, find something to connect with and be a part. There's 15 groups all together that you can be a part of. So if you're going to go walking, there's a group with the ladies, there's a group for that. If you want to learn how to walk in freedom, if you want to learn how to be financially free, the Brewers will help you there.
Yes.
Just a lot of great things. So encourage everybody to get involved.
Yes.
Well, it kind of leads me to one of our special things today, and that's praying over our Academy families. Here's what I'd like to do. If you are currently an Academy family, or formerly an Academy family. There's some of you who you're here and your kids went through our Academy. I'd like all of you to stand, please. And we're getting ready to start a new Academy year. It starts on what day, hon?
It starts Tuesday.
Starts Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of preparation, a lot of work, a lot of prayer. But we thought it'd be really great to pray over our families today. Yeah, Shanks family, you guys better get up. I think about, you know, sometimes I just think about the amazing work God has done in so many young people's hearts. You know, the Shanks have three kids. All three of them have been involved in missions and felt a call to missions. And, you know, in some way, I think the Academy was a part of that, just sowing into their hearts. And we could tell a lot more stories of how God has moved in and through the hearts of our young people. I'm so proud of them. Really, really proud
of
them.
Love our young people.
Sweetie, would you pray over all of them? And the rest of you, just reach out your hands, would you? And just let's pray together for our Academy. If you're a teacher, if you're a staff member, please stand. I want everybody that's involved in our Academy. Isn't this amazing? I mean, let's give all these folks a hand, and then we're going to pray. I mean, pretty neat, the amount of people here. And of course, some of the kids are in Kids Church and Base 5-6, but let's pray together.
Lord, we love you so much. Thank you, God, that you are good.
Yes.
And that you are for us, God.
Yes.
And I just pray for every person here. I thank you, God, for every family, every child, Lord, that is at New Song Academy and that it's ever been. I pray that your blessings would be on them today, that you would strengthen them, Lord, that you would speak to them. And Father, I just pray that for an open heaven, Lord, and I know how hard it is to go forward sometimes in homeschooling. I pray for a double portion of strength, of clarity, of vision, Lord, and that your presence would be upon our families and on this Academy and our teachers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes, amen. Give them one more good hand. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Thank you, sweetie. By the way, we've got a men's retreat coming up if you're interested. Today's the last day, I think, to sign up for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you take them out and let's turn together to, let's see here, where do I want you to turn this morning? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to start a new series today that I'm calling Alive and Active, Alive and Active. This has just been something burning on my heart over the last several weeks. And maybe this is a little bit leaping off of our last series that we called What Kind of People Ought You to Be? I want to focus this morning on the power of the Word of God to shape and to influence and to touch our lives. There is no other book like it. Here's a great quote. The Bible is unarguably an incredible book. It's the best-selling, most quoted, most published, most circulated, most translated, most influential book in the history of mankind, and there is no close second. Can you say amen to that? I want to give you, let's do something fun here this morning as we start, especially since we've got some of our academy kids here in our presence. And part of the reason I wanted to bring this message today is because my role in the academy is I get to teach chapel on Tuesday and Thursdays. I've been known to get a little wild, a little crazy, a little loud, fall down, run around, shout, jump, do all kinds of things. I love to get into character with the Bible characters. I just really love that. One time, one of the men here in the church, he was volunteering, and he happened to come in and hear me teach chapel, and he saw a very different Pastor Jeff than maybe what he sees on Sunday morning. He goes, hey, why don't you do that on Sunday morning, you know, and it was fun. But I thought as we start a new academy year and young people, hi, sweetheart, I see you, as we get into the Word of God, I thought, what if we just kind of talked a little bit about the Word and how important it is in our lives? Because I think you can start to have a relationship with God's Word that really changes your life. And I'm looking at every young person in the room today and every older person, not old person, but older person. Okay, I put myself under that category. It can change our lives if we have a daily relationship with God's Word. So I want to talk about that. But before we do, because I know I'm in the presence of some Bible scholars, yes, people who love God's Word, I thought we'd have a little quiz. How many of you like a little Bible quiz, a little Bible trivia here this morning? You just shout out the answer if you know the answer to these questions, okay? Longest book in the Bible. The most words is actually the book of Jeremiah. How about that? Interesting, huh? Shortest book in the Bible. 3 John. I heard somebody say it back there. 3 John it is. How many authors wrote the Bible? Anybody know? Yes. There's the right answer. I love it. That was pretty good. Longest chapter in the Bible. Anybody know the longest chapter in the Bible? Psalm 119. How about the shortest chapter? It's two before that. Psalm 117. Only two verses. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Anybody know that one? Yeah, John 11:35. Jesus wept. Everybody say it with me. Yeah, see, you've memorized a new scripture right there today. You can just, man, I learned a scripture at church today. That's pretty awesome. John 11:35. Here we go. Let's make it a little bit tougher. Two men who never died in the Bible. Who are the two men who never died in the Bible? Ooh, Enoch and Elijah. I heard it out there. One of our young people even. Awesome, young lady. Here's a tough one. Goliath had a brother. What's his name? Anybody know Goliath's brother's name? I don't hear any shouting. Got quiet. Little Goliath. Goliath Jr., no, Lahmi, L-A-H-M-I, 1 Chronicles 20, verse 5. First place Christians were called Christians. Antioch, yeah, pretty good, pretty good. By the way, you know, I love that story because literally, you know, of course, Jesus Christ, Jesus, the anointed one, the anointed one, the Christos, the anointed one, the Messiah. And that came about because the Christians were living in such an intimate relationship with Jesus that people literally, they used it as a derogatory term, but it was so encouraging in the sense because they saw Jesus in them. How many of you think we ought to get back to being Christians? Where people see Jesus in us and would say, man, look at that. That guy's like a little Christ. That lady's like a little Christ. It's amazing. They're anointed. They're walking in the power of God's anointing. Oh, man, let's see here. Here we go. Let's see. Oh, dogs are mentioned 14 times in the Bible. How about that? Lions are mentioned 55 times. Domestic cats never mentioned at all. No problem there with me. You know, that's okay with me. Here's one. How about this? There's more than 3,200 verses of fulfilled prophecy within the Bible. 3,200 verses that have already been fulfilled. But get this, there's about 3,100 that are still yet to be fulfilled. A lot of those, of course, in the end time prophecies. Listen to this. More than 168,000 Bibles either sold or given away per day in the United States, according to the Gideons, Wycliffe International, and International Bible Societies. Historically, it's been said the Bible is the most sold book of all time, and it's regularly on the various bestseller lists. The Bible's been translated into more than 1,200 languages, and it's also the most shoplifted book. Can you believe that? Somebody really needs to read it, don't they? Shouldn't do that. It's called stealing. All right, one last one. Last word in the Bible.
Amen.
Amen, exactly. Man, my little Bible scholar, I'm going to give her a treat. Very, very good. Give that young lady a good hand. That's awesome. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, all scriptures God-breathed. Would you say the words God-breathed? And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is literally a God-breathed book. It's unlike any other book. There's a lot of good books out there, but there's no book that I want to go to daily that God might breathe into my heart and into my spirit and fill me with His love and His life. This book literally, you know, man had the pen, but God was behind it all. Love that answer. How many authors? It's over 40 human authors that God used. Man had the pen, but God was breathing behind it all. And let me just say to you this morning, your attitude and your view of the Bible will determine how important it is in your life. We're living in a day and an age where, quite honestly, I think the world's been very, very deliberate in trying to tear down this holy book, to trying to get us to question this holy book, to get us to doubt the promises and the power of this holy book. I remember going to University of Louisville, go Cards, and one of my first semesters, I walked into one of the classrooms. It was one of the first days of class, and I saw a bulletin, a flyer on the bulletin board, and it said, how to stump a Bible thumper. And it was a course somebody was teaching to try to bring out inconsistencies, to try to get people to doubt God's word. By the way, there aren't any inconsistencies, there's just ignorance on our part, right? I mean, it's true, and it says it's true, and it is true. And your attitude and your view of the word will determine how important it is in your life. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, listen, really important as we think about this today. And we also thank God continually. Because when you received the word of God, everybody say received. Which you heard from us, you accepted it. Everybody say accepted. You accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Listen to that, man. If that's not underlined in your Bible or highlighted in your iPad, it should be. When you received the Word of God, when you accepted it, not as something from human knowledge and wisdom, but literally breathed by God into existence, it is at work in you who believe, but you must accept it. Your attitude toward it will determine how powerful it is in your life. You believe this is the inerrant and infallible Word of God that is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us that we might be the people of God, those Christians who people look at and go, man, they're like Jesus. I read that quote last week from Mahatma Gandhi that said, you know, I like your Christ, I just don't like your Christians. We need to get away from being perceived as being judgmental, homophobic, all that stuff the world tries to label us at. And you know what? Get out there and be the compassionate presence of the Lord, loving, serving, caring for people in need. Instead of just trying to force feed something that they're not ready to receive yet, let's serve our way into their hearts. Amen? Let's love our way into their hearts. It's what changed the church in the first century. It's what changed Rome in the first century. They didn't rebel and protest and get politically active. They served and they loved unconditionally. When plagues would hit and people would leave town because they didn't want to be around the plagues, the Christians would stay and nurse those who were sick and dying back to health. When people didn't want their babies and they cast them over the wall in Rome and left them to die outside the city walls, the Christians would be the ones that would go and get those children and raise them to the glory of God. I have good friends who are missionaries today, and they're missionary heroes, quite honestly. In fact, Smitty and Cindy know them, Ted and Sue Olbrick. Ted was a pig farmer in Illinois, and he pastored a church that was never over 200 people out in the middle of some cornfields in Illinois. And God called he and his wife to go to Cambodia, the killing fields, where the Khmer Rouge had devastated a land and left so many children orphaned. And Ted and Sue show up as full-time missionaries through Foursquare in Cambodia. And as they're praying and asking God, how do we go about building a church here where there's been such devastation, so much trauma? And they saw the kids that were just abandoned, had no families because their parents had been killed. And they just started taking them in, taking the kids in, opening orphanages. Today they have over 1,000 orphanages and over 1,600 churches that are a result of them just going in, loving and serving the needs in that nation. And literally there are people who are writing about them today saying, you know what? This is a modern miracle. A country is being changed because of the message of the gospel being lived out in reality in a place where there was absolute human devastation. That's what the gospel does, folks. When the gospel comes alive, when the word comes alive, we start living it out in ways that absolutely change the world around us. Amen? I want to give you two points today. And the first one is simply this, that Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. In John chapter 1, see, this is not just a book, folks. This isn't just a book that sits on your coffee table, that sits on your shelf. Listen, this is Jesus you're holding. This is the presence of God, the power of God. John 1 calls Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, Jesus. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus and the Bible are the same thing, man, if Jesus walked right through those doors today, those doors flew open, here comes Jesus in his gown, his dusty sandals, and He walks into this place, and it's literally the physical presence of Jesus in this room. Here's what I know is going to happen. I'm going to outrace all of you to Him. I'm sorry. I'm going to outrace you. I'm going to get up there to Jesus. I'm going to say, lay your hands on me, Jesus. Pray for me, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need your strength and your power in my life. Listen, you have that opportunity every day. for Jesus to meet with you, for Jesus to minister to you, to download his power, his peace, his goodness into your life. Man, there's more power in Jesus. There's no more power in Jesus the man than in Jesus the Word. Do you realize that? There's no more power in Jesus the man than in Jesus the Word. This is the revelation of who he is, and he lived it. And here's what Jesus himself said. John chapter 6, verse 63. The words I speak. This contains the words he spoke. Amen. I'm so glad for that. Ever get in there? And do you have one of those Bibles? And this is one of the things I miss about having Bibles on our phones and all that. I miss the red letters. How many of you miss the red letters? Man, I like to read the red and pray for the power. How about you? Because they're the words. Listen, the words I speak are spirit and life. Everybody say spirit and life. That word spirit is the word pneuma. It literally means, as we said earlier, the breath of God. It means they have the power of God in them. I don't know about you, but I want to be closer to Jesus. I have a long-term hungering to be closer to him, to know him better. And let me tell you, I understand that part of that is going to be my devotion daily to the Word of God. First thing I do in the morning, I fall on my knees in prayer, and then I brush my teeth, and then I go and I get in God's Word. Because I need his Word to start my day, to awaken my spirit, to get me in alignment. I need the Word of God ministering to my heart. Let me tell you, point number two, the Bible is alive. As the sermon is called, it's alive and active. And I'm going to show you that right from the Word. Let me show you another verse before I get to that one, though, because this one's very cool. Romans chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. Here it is. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. His name is the Word of God. I got to tell you, one of the ways that I've had to repent at times, by the way, repentance is a good word, right? It means changing our mind, deciding to go God's way, deciding to embrace God's truth. It was just, you know, there have been times I've neglected the Word. There's been times I haven't given it the level of importance that I should have. Now, I've read God's Word every day for pretty much all of my Christian life. And I'm so glad that my background taught me that and encouraged me that. But there were days and times where I really skimped. There were days and times where I allowed myself to get too busy to really feed on and feast on God's Word. Jesus says that man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man, there's daily manna, daily revelation, daily life. Listen, folks, the key to living successfully in this world as a believer is the Spirit and the truth, the Word, the Spirit and the Word. We need those two things alive and well in our lives. We want to hear from God. Listen, most of the time when God is speaking, it's through his Word. Most of the time. Now, there are times I've certainly heard him as I was spending time and he spoke something to me. But many times he speaks through his Word. The Bible's alive. It's alive and it's active. It's, let me use a different word, it's dynamic. It is dynamic. Here's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I love this. For the Word of God is what? Read it with me. Alive and active. It's alive and active. Let me just stop for a second. Time out. How many of you are letting it activate in your life every day? Maybe you're like me. You've gotten too busy. Maybe you fell out of the habit. That's why I really, really, really encourage a Bible reading plan. We as a church here at New Song, part of our community, we're a family of faith, and we walk together in community. We support one another. We encourage one another. One of the things that we strongly encourage is that you read the Bible through the year together with us. And we feel like that is a way that we can journey together and have the Lord speaking to our hearts day in and day out, because I need that. Listen, if I begin to neglect the word, it doesn't take but maybe 2, 3, 4 days, and I start to see a worldliness and a fleshliness settle into my heart, my spirit, my way of thinking. There's a survey that was done a few years back that said there's nothing that will change a person's actions morally than more powerfully, than more dynamically than a daily walk in the Word of God. If you really get into the Word of God, listen, it will change you. Let me just tell you another thing or two about it. There's 1,189 chapters in God's Word. 1,189 chapters. That means it takes about 3.3 chapters a day for you to make it through the Bible in a year. Read 10 a day and you make it through the Bible 3 times in a year. How do you like that? There's all kinds of different ways you can read the Word, get the Word in you, let the Word penetrate, activate in your life. There's 89 chapters in the Gospels. If you read 3 a day, you'll get through those Gospels 3 times. Or 3 a day, you'll get through it every month. There's 150 Psalms. 5 a day, you'll get through the Psalms in a month. 31 Proverbs. 1 a day, you'll get through the Proverbs in a month. There's different ways to do it, but enjoy the Word. It's your daily bread from the heart of God for you to keep you strong, to keep you growing. Here's one of the things I know. If we're going to be mature disciples, and that is my job, is to help equip you to be a mature disciple in Christ, then I've got to help you learn to feed yourself. If you come to church all the time expecting the pastor to put on a show, entertain you, give you a little bit of feeding, make you feel good about yourself, and send you out the door, and that's all there is to your spirituality, it's going to be shallow and it isn't going to last very long. You might get a little pumped up on Sunday, but by the time Tuesday rolls around, you're going to be empty again. But if you learn how to feed yourself on a daily basis, where every day you're sitting in just humility before God, asking Him to speak to you through His Word, He will. He will. Man, I tell you, there's daily bread, there's fresh bread for you every day if you'll learn how to feed yourself. The Bible's alive, it's dynamic, it's active. Let me just share a couple more things here with you and wrap up today. I want to give you a little process to think about here this morning. Very important. I want you to get a hold of this because I think it'll really help you. I want to share 3 things under this point, the Bible is alive, that I think will help you. If you have your inside your bulletin, there's a little thing you can take notes on. The first is simply this: it's faith that activates the Word. It's faith that activates the Word. Romans 10:17 says this: so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to increase your faith? You want to strengthen your faith, boost your faith? Maybe you feel weak in faith? Then let me tell you how that happens. It's faith that activates the Word of God. You got to believe it. You got to receive it. You got to accept it. But when you do, it comes alive in you. Hebrews 4:2, look at this. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You see the difference there? This word was spoken over 2 different groups of people. They hear the very same message. It works in one and doesn't work in the other. It profits one group, it doesn't profit the other. You know, you've got to come to the Word expecting God to speak to you. Your faith is what activates the Word. Let me tell you what activates your faith. Revelation. Revelation activates your faith. There's an incredible proverb. I love it. It says, without a vision, the people perish. The Hebrew word literally means revelation. Without revelation, the people perish. Or the people lose restraint. They kind of give in to anything and everything that's coming down the pike. And if there's ever a day and a time where you and I need to be solid in God's word, it's today. It is today. Certainly over any other time you've lived on the face of this earth, it gets increasingly dark, increasingly wicked. We need the word of God to be our foundation. Revelation activates your faith. Faith activates the word. Revelation activates your faith. There's a progression here. When you read God's word with faith, believing it's God's word, it comes alive. Faith gets the word working, and revelation gets your faith working. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Let me give you an example of this from Scripture, and because I'm limited in time, I'm not going to be able to read it all, but in Luke chapter 1, you know this story. An angel of the Lord comes to Mary and says to Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord's with you. Blessed are you among women. Don't be afraid. You found favor with God. Behold, you'll conceive in your womb, bring forth a son. He shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest." And Mary says to the angel, verse 34, "How can this be, since I don't even know a man?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be to be born will be called the Son of God." And then verse 37, "For no word from God will ever fail." In some translation it says, "For with God nothing is impossible." But I wanted you to see it from this translation. No word from God will ever fail. What's Mary's response to this living word from God that comes to her? It's so important. Verse 38, "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. She receives and she accepts. Her faith is activated because of this word from the Lord. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. She didn't say, "No, I'm not sure. How's this? You know, I don't know." She said, "May it be according to your word." You realize, right, there's two different words in the Greek text for word. One is the word logos. It's the written word. And thank God for the written word that we have here in front of us that we can open daily and read over, pour over. But we open the logos so that we might have a rhema. The other word is rhema. That's the living word that comes alive, that springs into your heart. It's like that eureka moment when all of a sudden you go, "Wow, that's for me." I got to tell a little story about my youngest daughter. We were on vacation here recently, and she made this incredible hike. And I said to her, "Honey, part of it, I was like, I'll just bless you, honey, and you can do this." And it was kind of tough. And she made it to the top, and she reminded me later on, "Dad, you said you'd do something special for me. Here's what I'd like, Dad. I'd like a new journal for my Jesus time." She just come back from camp in Nicaragua, and God's stirring in her heart. I'm so proud of her. I said, "Man, I'd love to get you a new journal, honey." So we went to the bookstore, and she picked out this special journal, and very cool looking journal. And every day it's got a little devotional, and then it's got a place where you can journal what God's speaking to you, what He's saying to you. I love that. And this last week we're driving down the road, and I said, "Honey, how's your Jesus time been?" And she said, "Dad, I'm telling you what, yesterday that devotional in the Word of God was exactly what I needed." I said, "Isn't that cool, honey? God's good at that. He gave you the very word you needed for that day. The very thing you were wondering about, asking God for, God spoke to you through His word that day." So that was cool. You know, that was cool. I was like, "Yeah, that's awesome." So a few days later, we're driving down the road again. I said, "Hey, how's your time with the Lord been?" She goes, "Dad, I'm telling you again, yesterday, it was spot on, Dad, spot on." I love that. I just love that. And God is good at that. So for the word to work, we need faith. For faith to work, we need a revelation. Well, how do you get a revelation? Let's end with this. You might want to write this down. Meditation activates revelation. Meditation activates revelation. Joshua 1:8. "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Meditate, meditate, meditate. So many of us, we're preconditioned. We think about Eastern mysticism and transcendental meditation and all these crazy things when we hear the word meditate. Can I just say, it was here in the Word of God long before any of that came into existence. Meditate. Meditate on God's Word. Don't sit there and go, or any of that crazy stuff. Sit there and meditate on the Word of God. Yesterday, I'm up. I was in Ohio meeting with some churches. I had my Jesus time in the morning. Proverbs 22:4 jumped off the page at me. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. And I just said it over and over and over again. I was meditating on it. I was chewing on it. Some say that word meditate, literally it's like this picture of the five stomachs within a cow. Do you know a cow has five stomachs? I'm glad I only have one. I have a hard enough time dealing with this one. But a cow has five, and when a cow is chewing the cud, it chews it, it goes into one stomach, then it regurgitates, it chews it again, it goes into another stomach, and it's this process of breaking down the nutrients so they can get everything out of it possible for its health and existence. And that's kind of the picture of meditation, that when you and I open the Word every morning, every day, every night, whenever it is, that we're looking for a Word that will sustain us, a daily piece of bread that's fresh from the oven of the Lord, that will speak to us, that will strengthen us, that will encourage us. Man, that eureka moment, that jumping off the page. Meditate on it day and night. Then you'll be successful. Listen, one word a day will keep you strong and healthy in Christ. One word a day. Here's one of the things I like to do, and this is kind of just a quirky little thing. I like to think about this, that when I'm having my Jesus time and I'm in the Word, I'm looking for that nugget. I'm looking for that fresh piece of bread. And I kind of envision when I come out of my prayer closet, my time with the Lord, that somebody's going to ask me a question. And that question's going to be this. What did God speak to you today? What did God speak to you today? So see, every day when I go in, I'm looking, I'm listening, I'm asking. What is it you're speaking to me today, Lord? What's that one nugget that I can grab hold of today that I can chew and swallow over and over again that's going to help me be strong and healthy in Christ? God wants to give you fresh bread from His Word. This book is unlike any other book. I love Lord of the Rings, but reading Lord of the Rings every day isn't going to feed and nourish my soul. How many of you know that? There's a lot of great books out there. I love Wild at Heart. That's one of the best books I've ever read. But I'm not going to meditate on that day in and day out to feed my soul, because this is the Word that is alive and active. And it's God's Word, and we can't get away from it. We can't let this world pull us away from it. We've got to meditate on it day and night so that we might be God's people living out and being His presence in this world. Amen, church. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. The ushers are coming. We're going to close like this today. I'm going to ask the worship team to please come back up. And if you guys would just kind of play a little bit in the background here for us for a few minutes. And the ushers are coming with communion today. And I'm going to invite you in just a moment. Sometimes I think in church, we got to move. We got to activate. We got to respond. And I'm going to invite you to the table of the Lord this morning. I'm going to invite you to come and get these elements of communion. Joseph, excuse me there real quick. Thank you. It's always tough when I'm up here having to fake it. Okay, everybody take the bread, and I don't have it. But I'm going to ask you to come in just a moment and get the cup and the bread and find a place. Just find a place. You can go back to your seat if you need to, or come up around here, gather as a family, gather with a friend. And we're just going to receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I'm telling you what, the world right now is so divided and so divisive. Can I just say, it's at the table of the Lord that we're brought together and united by God's Spirit. red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in His sight. Amen? We've got to absolutely live out something that this world is so desperately needing, and that is true unity. At the foot of the cross, we're unified in our faith. Doesn't matter your background, your educational level, where you grew up, what your experience is. Listen, God wants to unite us as His body in this earth. Amen. Would you come, and I'll pray over us here in just a second. Come and get the elements of communion, please. Find a place. You can go back to your seats. You can stay up here at the altar, wherever you'd like to receive together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're coming and getting the elements, let me read to you Paul's instructions to the Corinthians on receiving the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." Hallelujah. By the way, I want to pray here in a minute too. I forgot to mention this earlier, but this morning, Jen Dupin and the Elevation Dance Team are at the Kentucky State Fair performing and sharing the Lord, and some of our young people are there with them. I want to pray over them and just ask God's blessing on them this morning. Hallelujah. Father, bless that Elevation Dance Team. Lord, just as they perform and dance, may Your light and Your love shine through them in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just hold those elements of communion together? Father, thank You for Your body, which was broken for us. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed You. Cleanse us of all sin. Lord, we love You. We want our lives to be a reflection of Your love and life to this world. Thank You for this cup that represents Your precious blood. Lord, go with us today. Let our lives be pleasing to You. Unite us, Lord. Unite us, God. Make us one, just as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. Jesus' name. Let's receive the bread. Let's receive the cup. Can you say amen? Let's give the Lord praise this morning. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. God is good. Amen. Lord, go with us now and use us for Your glory throughout this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Remember, the presence of God doesn't stay here. It goes with you. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. To Jesus, we pledge our allegiance to the Lord.